Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Listen to the words of this song that asks us a very, very important question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In the chorus, are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Just think of how our garments are stained with sin and can be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's words to Timothy. But as in the third chapter, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is in the light of that that we begin the fourth chapter. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. These are Paul's words to Timothy, first charging him, and then describing himself as ready to be offered, the time of his departure at hand. Let's pray that God will again give us men like Paul and like Timothy. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come asking in his name to be taught, to be led, to be blessed, to be forgiven, to be washed in his blood by faith, and who be able also after that washing to overcome all the ways of Satan through his blood, even as those described by John in the book of Revelation, who overcame the ways of Satan by thy blood, Lord Jesus. We give thanks for that blood being shed, and we give thanks that there is power in that blood today from thee, the risen Savior. We do not know how, but we can believe as little children that it will be done as thou dost describe it to us in thy word, and can be believed because thy word is true and given here by thy inspiration and is profitable as stated here by Paul to Timothy. And we pray that it may be that to us today, that it may come to us not in word only, but in power with thy Holy Spirit, that it may be for us as Isaiah could state, or thou didst state through the pen of Isaiah, cast thy bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return. We pray for that to take place today from the preaching of the word that has been done in the past, that still is being done today, and we pray that there might be much more of it that begins today in those that thou wilt call to preach in our nation and in every other nation in the world, especially those that have had it in the past and no longer know it as in the past, and others as well that may not have heard it, the many children in the many homes that have not heard the word of thee, the gospel particularly, and only heard that spoken against. And we pray, Father, that soon the gospel may be preached to every creature as thou dost command, Lord Jesus, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in thy name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. We pray also for that city, that the gospel might be preached there today, and that city will become one in thee. And as thou hast said, Lord Jesus, thyself, that it is the city of thee, the great King. We pray that that may soon be proved to be made known to the whole world, and that once again thy name might be named in it. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on those that need thee in temporal ways also, the sick, the sorrowing, the hungry, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the broken homes, the children in those homes, all these ways, Father, that are so troubling. And we pray that homes might be healed. We pray that the sick might be healed also, the injured, and those that will not have that blessing, that they might have thy grace to bear under it and to learn through it, as it was true for Paul. We pray for those especially that will soon meet thee in death, that they might be prepared for that hour. In thy name, Lord Jesus, we ask it and give thanks. Amen. It is God's word here as we read from the 16th verse of that third chapter, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Peter writes the same thing later and says, no scripture is of private interpretation, but holy men of old were moved by the Spirit of God. This is a word from heaven. This is a word from God on his throne to give us all these ways that are in scripture: doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, given by both example and teaching. First of all, the teaching of creation, then the example of those who were created and who were born one generation after another, the example of Abraham especially, sometimes called the father of believers, and of whom Paul would write, if we are Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We need both Jew and Gentile to see that it is only through Christ, God's Son, yes, God's eternal Son, that we can have a right relationship with God and also have that same relationship with God that Abraham had, that we are then Abraham's children. As he was one in faith, we can be one with him in faith. We need this again to take place today in a mighty way for that to happen. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word, as Paul wrote to the church at Rome. And as we mentioned, Christ's words to the apostles on the day of his resurrection, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. And our nation is included in that. It is for all time as well as all nations. And we need today what Paul is here charging Timothy to do. I charge thee therefore before God. Yes, we are before God this hour, this minute. Each one of us. Do we have the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom? If we don't have the fear of God, we don't have the beginning of wisdom. We're left in our blindness. We're left in our foolishness. We are then very possibly in the time mentioned in the third verse of this fourth chapter. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That has been true all through history. There have been the false prophets as well as the true prophets in the time of Israel, the Old Testament. When Jeremiah was called to preach, God described the false prophets to him with their lightness, with their lies, and said would not profit the people at all. Yet at the same time, it was true that the people loved to have it so. How terrible, how foolish, how wicked, that we love to have that, that we do what Paul said here, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I know what it is. I've done it. I was in that foolish, guilty state, having the Bible from a child, like it was true of Timothy, as we also can read in that third chapter just before this, verse 15, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Having the scriptures alone is a blessing. Paul asked the question when he writes to the church at Rome, what advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? And he says, much every way, for to them is given the oracles of God, the writings. The only writings that there were from God were all given to Israel, to their prophets. And we can be thankful that God, through them, gave us the scriptures. The scripture that we are reading here, Paul, born from the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, first of all a persecutor, but then a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of the whole counsel of God, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and all of Scripture that is profitable for these things that he tells Timothy of, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we have the Scripture, we have no excuse. We know it. It's there. Sadly, even if we rushed it, no excuse. None. It's there. True. I did rest it. I did what I said a moment ago. Would not endure sound doctrine. Turn my ears away from the truth. I have a pamphlet here written by George Whitefield. Why Preach Electing Grace? It is a letter from George Whitefield to John Wesley. John Wesley didn't believe in electing grace. He didn't believe in what Scripture describes as predestination, which is sound doctrine, and which many, sadly, who call themselves preachers of the word, don't believe. I remember a preacher right in this city, a number of years ago, said, if predestination is true, I wouldn't preach. Predestination is true. And he shouldn't be preaching because he doesn't believe it. And evidently, predestination has not done its work in his soul, in his heart, in his mind. And I know when that was true for myself. I can remember when one time speaking of the doctrine of election, which is in Scripture, plainly, and saying it's there, but it ought not to be preached. The person I said it to said, you're thinking, we got to talk. Neither one of us were thinking. Thankfully, God brought me to think, and in the end to think how wrong I was, and finally had to say, if the God of election doesn't save me, I will go to hell. I deserved it. And even worse, I chose it. I chose the evil way. I can remember one time someone telling me the title of a book, The Evils of Calvinism. I thought, oh, I want that. I want to know those evils. And I probably have mentioned this before, but I think it bears repeating. What I didn't know is the fine print, along with that larger print title, The Evils of Calvinism in the Eyes of an Arminian. Calvin taught these doctrines of grace. Arminius denied them. Arminius was a Dutch Reformed preacher in the Netherlands years back. Before that, there was Pelagius at the same time as Augustine. All these doctrines have been there for years and years and years, and they have been with the truth. And I think many times the devil comes when the truth is being preached, when there is a revival by the power of God, the Spirit of God, that the devil comes with a sinister teaching of doctrine that counters it, that substitutes it, makes it sound a little better, make it sound a little easier. And that was the way it was in this time of Whitefield preaching these teachings of grace. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, whose scripture was coming from God to the church at Rome, used these words. He used the word election also to the church at Thessalonica when he said, knowing your election, how we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost. David already wrote of that 1,000 years before Christ was on earth. Record in Psalm 110, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Yes, God made me willing to acknowledge that that doctrine was thankfully true. And if it wasn't true, I wouldn't be here. if God hadn't predestined some out of those who wanted to do evil, of which the scripture said there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone aside. Paul, when he asked the question, are we better than they? He says, in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. And then repeats the same words as we can read in Psalm 14, Psalm 53. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's in regard to both the law and the gospel. Some would say we can't be righteous by the law, but we can choose to be righteous by the gospel. We should choose to be righteous by the gospel. We should admit our sin and the shortcomings of what God's law teaches us in loving Him above all, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and our neighbor as ourself, which is also part of the teaching called the second commandment, which is like unto the first. But as Christ said to Nicodemus, giving that wonderful verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder how many, knowing that scripture, know there is a way of perishing for ourselves. Yes, for you and me. There's many that are taught, as I was. Well, we're all like Timothy. We're like John the Baptist. We always knew the Lord. We were never in the perishing way. Yes, Timothy had a godly mother, a godly grandmother, and he did have from a child the scriptures which were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. But was he born with faith? And did he need faith for salvation? Evidently so. Paul said that. I think there's too many that take that scripture and just state that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures and leave it with that. But two more things are stated. One is, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The scriptures tell us how we can be saved. They also tell us how we must be saved. And it is in those statements that Paul is making to Timothy that he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. Preach the word that you have known. Preach the word that I've just described to you and told you it can make you wise unto salvation. And don't forget the last part of that statement. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's in another, not in you. It's in another, but not in your parents. Not from your parents. God said so. Go back to the Gospel of John. Those who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. A short time later, John records the narrative of Nicodemus coming to Christ by night, and Christ saying to Nicodemus, after he said, thou art a teacher come from God, just very, almost abruptly to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, no matter who your parents were, you must be born again. Someone will say, well, that just means from above. It does mean from above, but it also means again. And Nicodemus grasped that, even though he was ignorant of part of it. He grasped it to the point that said, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? He caught the again, which some people want to deny today. Yes, deny it. And if you do it, you do it to your detriment. And if you're a preacher, you do it to the detriment of others. And it was done to my detriment. I heard that kind of teaching, and I thought, well, then I'm as good as the rest. The rest are saved, so am I. We all have that. We all needed the preaching, not only of Christ, but of John the Baptist as well. Say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. No harder than my heart. No harder than your heart. Those stones, whatever stones the Lord Jesus was talking about, they were all over the place in Israel. And often, and even when Christ was preaching, they took up stones to cast at him. They stoned Stephen to death. They stoned Paul later. All of this was done. We need to know what Paul was telling Timothy to preach. Preach the word. God's word. Christ spoke of the danger that was there when he was here on earth. He says, you make void the commandments of God by your tradition. Yes, tradition often takes place of the truth. Makes void the truth. We say, oh, this is true for us. And again, coming short of what Paul said here to Timothy. Yes, it was true that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures. So did I. I could quote many of them. And I could quote them that I said ought not to be preached. Those that I didn't want to believe, as well as those that I did believe and thought taught another truth, which I had found out later was not true. And was, as I quoted from John 1:13, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And if we aren't born of God, then when we hear the message as Christ gave it to Nicodemus, the wonderful message of God so loving the world, but Christ didn't stop there. He said he came not to punish the world, to damn the world, but to save the world. But then he went on to say, sadly, men love darkness rather than light. And even a stronger statement to Nicodemus and to us. Everyone that does evil hates the light. It's bad enough to love darkness rather than light, but it's even worse to hate the light. Hate God's gift to man, Christ, the light of the world. He said, they hate me without a cause. He said, if I had not spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. They hate both me and my Father. He said that just before he died. John 15, read it. Read John 3, all of it. Read John 1, all of it. 12 and 13, both. And read all of verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then pray that God will today call men like Timothy was to preach the word before God and before the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and that will soon be there. Are you ready?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.